Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In 2004, the government launched a digital strategy aimed at ensuring all New Zealanders have access to the means to participate in an information society. One key part of that laid out expectations of local government in getting there. So how's that going anyway? It's patchy, according to a new study from Unitech in Auckland. To discuss the study, we're joined by Unitech's Professor Kay Fielden. Welcome, Kay.
Thank you.
Now, what was the purpose of the study? What was your remit?
Well, my colleague and I, Pam Malcolm, looked at the National Government's digital strategy and where they aimed for at that stage.
By national, you mean the
national, not the.
The government of the country.
The government of the country. Thank you. We looked at the digital strategy targets out to 2010, and so we thought we'd check the websites for all the local governments in New Zealand, and hence the reports that we produced.
So what were the expectations of local government in that strategy?
That by 2010 there would be full participation online.
You mean basically that every council would have a website?
No, would be able to interact with local government online with more than just a PDF.
What does that mean exactly? I mean, in layman's terms for people out there.
Sorry. Right. It more than just saying, answering an email and sending that off, or downloading some government regulations.
The interesting thing there is that there are things now that councils should be doing, I would think, that didn't even exist at the time.
Correct.
Facebook and Twitter weren't really in the picture, were they?
That's right. And this year we updated the study and found that some websites are really, really worth it, like Palmerston North, for instance, is really good. One or two of the smaller councils in the South Island are really good. But some of the others are not so good at all.
I imagine, as with a lot of these sorts of organisations, it really depends on who's driving it from the top and also who's sitting in that room in the IT room, that whether they're
very
imaginative and capable.
And what we've discovered too is that they often present the inside view rather than a view that citizens want to see.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is what I was going to ask. What, short of, you know, putting the wheelie bin out each week, what sort of ways do people interact with councils, and in which ways do we need to be doing that online? Because I don't do, apart from paying the rates.
We check rubbish days.
Do you? Rubbish days? Okay, yeah. Sometimes I look, I mean, when I was looking for a house, I used the Auckland City Council website extensively to look at rates, values and things like that. But
I go to the community events and look to see what's on in the art world. I go to the library. I'm doing all those sorts of things as well. And people do use them, particularly people who are very interested in participating in local government. And I think we're thinking about those people in particular. People who like to do recreation, outdoor recreation. For instance, Auckland Regional Council have got a wonderful, what they call a website within a website, that looks just at their recreation areas. And they say that's one of the most visited parts of their website.
This is all the camping grounds they have and those sorts of things.
That's right.
It's interesting what you said before about internal information, because I recall that as like the classic mistake of organisations going online is that they design their web presence around the structure of their organisation, which doesn't work for the reader.
It does certainly does not. Try some of the other government sites as well sometime.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think, for example, the Auckland City website, which I presume is very soon to be defunct, is at least they've realised that what most people come to the website for. So on your front page, you've got pay your parking fine, look up your rates, that sort of thing.
That's
right on
right.
the front page
that's
there.
Right. Mm. But not all local councils do that.
What was the were there big examples of big councils that were failing miserably?
In a word, yes.
Do you want to name them?
No.
I mean, where were you surprised where there was maybe a more rudimentary website that could have been improved?
Some of the smaller councils, I think, have financial problems. And so their money's not going into website development. I don't think they have the people to do it. And I think they've got communities that aren't up to speed with the sort of things that we'd expect in a city.
Why can't you name them? Because it would seem useful if you've done the study to actually say who's not coming up to scratch.
I think perhaps at the moment, with the local government elections just been, with the incredible restructuring, the biggest restructure in the Southern Hemisphere at the moment, organisational restructure, I think there are probably people who feel very sensitive about how they've portrayed themselves and what's to happen.
With the, I mean, you mentioned the restructuring of the super city.
Yes.
How much of your work has looked at the proposed interaction for the new super city with people?
What we've done is we looked, we did the website evaluations, and we also looked at, talked to people within some of the Auckland City Councils earlier in this year, with the aim of then, in the near future, looking at it again once they've done another face to the public.
That's going to be interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Because in theory it should be better. They've got a chance to start from scratch.
In theory. That's why we'd like to find out.
So I've heard some stories about some of the IT aspects to the new super city where they've had, you know, four working systems or more, I suppose six if you include the Rodney and Franklin councils. And rather than take the best one and expand it, they've wiped them all out and starting from scratch.
We haven't got into that yet, but it will be very interesting to see. So we're not so interested in the back office, like what's happening within the council. We're much more interested in what they're portraying to the public.
Were there any councils that were doing particularly innovative things? I mean, can you give us some examples of that?
Well, as I said, Palmerston North, a great site. You can have a look at it. And some of the councils you'd expect to be doing, having an innovative face to the public via their website, weren't. They seemed to do their innovation through whoever their local coloured person is. Like, no, I don't mean coloured as colour, but the local colour. And might be the mayor, it might be some other councillor.
By raising the expectations that more services should move online, does that run the risk that you start to forget your traditional means of reaching people? And there are obviously a lot of people who don't use the internet. I suspect I'm thinking people in rural areas, people in lower socioeconomic areas. Is that a danger?
There are certainly some issues around the rural digital divide. For instance, in a previous study one of my students did, he looked at a rural area and there was patchy broadband reception, and at that stage, even with some government websites, they could only get documents online. So you've got the rural dial-up and you're trying to download your file and it hangs up halfway through.
Yeah.
So there are those sorts of issues.
On that issue, are any of the councils actually taking the plunge and getting into the game and becoming partners in, say, fibre projects?
Not local governments, no.
Could they do it, do you think?
I think that would be viewed at an infrastructure level rather than a local government level.
How about providing free internet access in libraries? Is that an important facet of what they need to do?
I would say it's absolutely essential.
Is everyone doing that?
No. Some libraries do. So, for instance, I live in Waitakere City. Some of the libraries do and some don't, like Glen Eden does, but Titirangi doesn't.
Again, does that depend on having someone inspirational running that particular library or working in the IT department of that particular organisation?
I think that was a council decision. Yeah.
Do you think these are the sort of things, I mean, if there is so much variation across councils and even within departments inside councils, that there should be some overall standards that councils are required to, you know, mandatory required to adhere to?
There are local government guidelines. And there's a local government association that looks at these guidelines and gives awards each year for things like website design and back office and all of those sorts of things.
So it's not like the councils who are failing don't know what they're supposed to do.
No. There are guidelines there.
So are you optimistic for the future?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear that. thank you very much, Kay. And,
you're welcome.
And we'll look forward to your future studies.
Thank you.
Unitech's Kay Fielden there. After the break, new and interesting ways to kill vermin and Nick Dwyer on Series 2 of Making Tracks.